Welcome back to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. It's Pam along with Gage and Darren, and we're going to be talking about some of the recent games with the Columbus Blue Jackets, the Rangers, the Islanders game, the Maple Leafs game, and the Hurricanes game. And also a little bit later in the show, I will be discussing the current situation with NCAA hockey and the OSU men's and women's teams, as well as the hockey standings for CapitalHockeyConference.com, which is your high school teams. And we also cover the club teams that are playing hockey at the high school level as well. But let's start with Darren Schulman, who is our rules guru, and we try to share something about hockey. I like to call it hockey for beginners or hockey for avid fans, because you may learn something even if you know the game well, like me, because I definitely don't know it all on the game. So, Darren, what do you have for us today?
All right. So last week, I do recall you guys gave me a homework assignment, and I started thinking, if I do what they tell me, then they're going to get the answer because they might have also done the homework assignment. So I'm swerving and coming up with a different rule, one we talked about years ago, but one you see fairly often.
Okay.
And this is what happens when a skater on the ice has a broken stick.
Oh, okay. This one I'm interested in. We see a lot of this.
Yes, you do.
Yes.
Yes. In fact, there was a weird thing the other night where that was the Maple Leafs game,
yes,
right?
It was. Yes.
Where Elvis ended up with Matthews' stick, and what? I mean, that was so quick. One fell swoop. Woo. Yeah. So anyway, sorry I interrupted.
Yes, no, that's great. This is why we're doing it. So right. We try to do stuff that's topical where if people are watching the games, they can enjoy it. So,
right.
I guess the first question is, if you are, let's throw out a player, Zach Werenski. If his stick breaks, what does he do? What can he do with that?
If it breaks, he can either go, when time allows, go back to the bench, grab a new one, or essentially if you're in a penalty kill situation, just kind of try your best to block the puck, right, with your feet?
Right. You are not allowed to go get a new stick until stoppage of play, so you have to make the best of it until such time as you're allowed to go get a new stick.
But are you sure unless they
leave
the zone?
You just leave it laying out there.
Ah, okay.
Well, can you use that broken stick? Like, let's say you have a little piece of the edge.
No, you cannot.
No,
because it's too dangerous.
All right, so this is part one of the questions,
okay.
And I'm going to award you a solid B. Gage did pretty well. Pam, you might be a little bit in error, but I think you're on the right track. So, first of all, a broken stick is not allowed to be played. So you are correct. You cannot pick up that broken stick.
Mm-hmm.
A player without a stick can still play. Gage hit this. You can basically... And you see this sometimes, they skate around. If you drop, you have to drop the stick, so you can't keep the part in your hand. But if you drop it on the ice, you can kind of skate around, and they look kind of silly because they don't know what they're doing with their hands. I've never seen it. And they do have to leave the stick there laying on the ice. So, Pam, I think you might have been correct that you can't pick up that broken stick until the dead play.
Right.
But under the rule 10.3, a player who has lost or broken his stick may receive a replacement stick by having one handed to him from his player's bench.
Okay.
By having one handed to him by a teammate on the ice, so you could switch him, or by picking up his own unbroken stick or of that of a teammate on the ice. So if the stick falls down and it's not broken, you can pick it up.
Right, you can pick it back up within reason, yes.
Yeah, because the reason why I mentioned that, because I've seen that many times where if a player breaks, if they're not like in a penalty kill situation, they will skate back to the bench. And if they're not being swapped out, they will grab another stick and then come back in.
When it's comfortable,
when
that's correct.
Comfortable, right. If they're not in a penalty kill situation, that's normally what I see happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, or if it's a line change.
Or a line change.
If there's something where it's just they can do
there's
it.
There's a hesitation enough that they can do it safely.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But you can't use the broken stick.
Mm-mm.
You can't, and you can skate without a stick, but you can go over to the bench and get one up. And it looks like, according to the rule, you could actually swap it. So if one player was more important than the other for some reason, he could be like, yo, bro, take my stick. I'm going to go. So solid B so far. But now I want to ask you, what happens if Elvis's stick breaks?
Oh, this actually, I don't know. And I really want to know, because this actually occurred a couple of games ago. Pam and I.
That was the Maple Leafs game that we were just talking about. The fact that, he ended up with Matthew's stick in his hand.
Yeah.
And it was so smooth. When they played the replay, even the guys in the booth were talking about it. And then another, was it Matthew's or another player picked up Elvis's stick or something? And
I think so.
Okay, so what I'm getting at, though, is that play has to continue until the whistle is blown.
Right.
Then everybody can, you know, coordinate back or go get a stick for Elvis or whatever. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this was, I believe, this was before the road trip. Elvis's stick did break, mm-hmm. and he had to stay in the goal without a stick.
Right.
So, yeah, Darren, I'm curious.
Okay, so this is a fun one, and I would have gotten this wrong for full disclosure. Mm-hmm. A goalkeeper may continue to play with a broken stick until a stoppage of play, or until one has legally been provided to him by a teammate. The teammate cannot throw or shoot it to the goalkeeper for a violation of this rule. It's a minor penalty. Mm-hmm. Now, a goalkeeper whose stick is broken or illegal may not go to the player's bench for replacement, but must receive it from a teammate.
Okay.
So a teammate can go and bring him a stick, but he is allowed to use a broken one for a while until the play stops. I guess he's not swinging it like another players.
They can't bring it to him until there's a stoppage of play, right? They can't just bring it to him during the game? Really? I'm surprised.
Yeah, according to the rule, it says if a goalkeeper may continue to play with a broken stick until stoppage mm-hmm. of play or until he has one legally provided to him by a teammate.
Mm-hmm.
So, the teammate can just bring one over to him.
Mm. Now, when you're legally
think about that, that's going to be hard.
Yeah, I was going to say, how do you legally do that? Does the player just have two sticks in his hand, or is he just have one stick, like goes over the bench, brings it out, and then comes back? Like, how does mm-hmm. that, how do you legally do that, I guess?
Well, mm-hmm. one theory I could think of is, let's say you're on defense and you're like, okay, I can just kind of stand here in the way, but the goalie needs a stick. So maybe Zach could give Elvis his stick, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he's standing right there. Here, take my stick. We need you to have a goal stick.
Mm-hmm.
I guess in theory they could go and grab a stick from the bench and skate it over, but realistically that's going to be hard to do if the play is going. That's taking mm-hmm. too much time. I don't think that would work. So yeah. I think it might be someone handing them their stick. Try this. Although the sticks are different, so I don't know if that would even help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I think if he has like a crack in his stick, he could kind of try to use what's left according to this rule. I don't know if it would be feasible, like what's going to do. But
yeah,
goalies are weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was actually a really good one. I'm glad. Yeah, because I've seen that so many times this season, and I'm just always curious what happens if their stick breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Literally,
somebody posted the other night after that situation in the Maple Leafs game. He lost his stick like a couple of times close together.
Yeah,
and somebody was saying something about, can we tether that to his wrist,
like tape it or something?
You know, while we're on the subject of, you know, using other people's sticks and stuff, I remember I told you a few weeks ago I got to meet Zach Aston Reese. He said they are so familiar with their stick that if you handed them one that just had different like painting on it, they could tell the weight difference. Like,
oh, sure.
That gold paint.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, I never would have thought, but they're so attuned to their sticks that they can tell it's not theirs if it has a different bit of paint on it or something.
I understand. Yeah. I mean, if their stick breaks, I'm assuming they have multiple backups of their stick, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Okay. Well, that's interesting.
The equipment manager is always right there behind the bench along with the other coaches. And so if there's an equipment issue, there's times when you'll see a blade come out of a skate and they have to fix that quickly.
And they have to, like, hop and they have to continue the play.
Right.
So the cryptid player or whatever you want to call it has to hop over to the bench.
Yes.
I think I saw that in a Carolina Hurricanes game.
In a recent game.
Yeah, it was a I don't remember who they were playing, but it was during a Carolina Hurricanes mm-hmm. game, and I saw that occur. It was on the highlights. I thought that was hilarious.
Right.
Because he was hopping over with one,
think about how hard that is. Like, when we hop on the ground on one leg, it's one thing, but you're on a skate, which requires balance.
Right.
And slippery on ice, and you're like up, like, what is it, 2 inches of the mm-hmm. blade or three?
Yeah.
So you're all out of sorts anyway, so that, mm-hmm. that does look comical.
Yeah. Wow, no kidding.
So well done, guys. I give you points.
Thank you. Has anyone heard any updates on the injured reserve list? We know Sean Monahan, hand, wrist. We're waiting on an update about his situation. I'm sure we're close to the 10-day mark on that. And then did I see something about Danforth maybe getting close?
Danforth is actually, he has returned.
That's what I thought.
He is number 17. He has returned in the, I believe it was the New York Rangers game. Okay. He has made his return this season, which is very good. Always good to see one of our players off of injured reserve, and he's been in the lineup ever since, so that's very good. Last update we saw was Boone Jenner might potentially be available after March. So maybe his debut game, the Stadium Series.
Now, I think that Branson is on that same sort of
path.
They both have shoulder problems.
I think his injury was past Boone, so I'm not sure we'll have him back.
The good news on all of our players on injured reserve right now, all of them have resumed skating. So that means every single one that is on injured reserve right now has resumed skating.
Chenny's back on the ice.
That is correct.
That's good.
Yep, everybody on our injured reserve list has resumed skating, so that's good news. But like I said, the only thing that, at least that I know, I'm aware about, is Boone Jenner and Erica Branson's return potentially in March.
Okay.
Would it be great to see Boone back, his debut game as the Stadium Series? That'd be fantastic. I cannot wait if that does happen. I'm hoping it does.
So let's move on.
You're going to the game, Gage. You can't. I don't even know why you're even thinking about this.
No, I mean, I'm honestly thinking about buying tickets. The thing is it's Ohio Stadium that I'm not a fan of going to Ohio Stadium because it's so hard to get there. But other than that, yeah, it's about the experience, Darren. You got to tell me what section you're in because maybe I got to try and get a seat next to you.
Yeah, let's connect after the show.
Yes.
I'll let you know what's up.
For sure. For sure.
But Pam, you actually had real show topics, so I'm sorry. We were talking about fandom of the outdoor game.
Yeah. Well, I actually have a ticket, but we'll see when it gets closer. If it's real cold, I can't be out in the cold. I apologize. But if it's not terrible, I'm going to try to go. So we'll see. January 18th game, that was a 1-0 shootout loss to the New York Rangers. That was such a fascinating game to watch. Because it was 0-0 at the end of 60 minutes of hockey. That does not happen. Well, I was going to say that does not happen very often. And then, of course, they made it all the way through the 3-on-3, still 0-0. So it had to go to a shootout.
Yeah.
Yes.
And Daniil Tarasov was in the net,
by the way.
So Tarasov with the very, very continuing his very, very excellent performance. Of course, you know, with a recent game, that's different. But if we're running back the clock, the Rangers game unfortunately did snap our 6-game winning streak. So, yeah, I'm sure the Rangers fans are very happy.
Yeah.
Mike Chanel, I'm talking to you.
Thanks a lot, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure he's happy about that. But then,
but just remember, we got a point.
Yes,
so we
that's
did.
Important.
Yep,
and it's on the road, so that's important.
Very, very good point. But then, however, things turned to the worse with the New York Islanders. And you know, this is I thought of you, Darren, as I was watching this game on Monday when the Jackets lost to the Islanders 3-1. It's one of those teams you just. We lose to somehow that we shouldn't be losing to. Islanders were ranked last in our Metropolitan Division. But the Islanders pretty much – Jackets – and see, here's the thing. The Jackets scored first. They always score first in these road games, but then we let it get behind us. We scored first at that Islanders game, but then New York scored 3 unanswered goals, which means the final score was 3-1, losing that game. Any thoughts on that one, Darren?
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. Those are the games. If we getting a point for the Rangers, even though they're worse than us, that's a good. I'll take that.
Yep.
Then you go and blow it to the Islanders. I mean, that's disappointing.
Yes,
I would have liked to at least get to overtime and get another point, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But the thing is, you have to remember, it's not just where the team stands statistically; it's also a matter of some of it's puck luck in that. There are going to be times when a team that isn't doing very good is suddenly going to do well.
Yeah.
And that was one of those nights for the Islanders. And then you look at the Maple Leafs game and you think to yourself, well, what was the likelihood that we were going to beat them 5-1?
Right.
It was not likely.
Well, and what's very challenging was the Maple Leafs and the Hurricanes, two very good teams back to back.
Right.
And I was like, I don't think we're going to pull it off. But then, you know, like you said, during the Maple Leafs game, holy smokes, 5-1 final score, beating Toronto at Toronto. And by the way, lots of Blue Jackets fans there. So that was very, very good to see. And of course, Toronto is only like a 6-hour drive from Columbus. So easily doable for NHL fans. But 5-1 final score there. And then as we talked earlier, earlier. That was a very interesting start to the game. And I know, Pam, you want to talk about this.
I do. But getting back to what I was saying about puck luck, the fact that you have the Maple Leafs and you beat the Maple Leafs, and then you get to the Hurricanes, and the Hurricanes were sitting at how many games in a row at that point that they had won? And we were at a point where we had just beat the Maple Leafs, so they're on a high. I kind of suspected that we would beat the Hurricanes because I felt like that whole puck luck thing of 4, 5, 6 in a row, they were due for a loss. The Hurricanes were absolutely due for a loss. So then we go through the So we got through the first period at 2-1 against the, and I know we have to go back to the Leafs game, but I'm tying this all together. The fact that the Hurricanes, we were up 2-1 after the first period. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then all of a sudden they get all these goals in and they're ahead. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, how does that happen? You were beating this team, and yes, you're absolutely right. These are both very good teams. They're very highly ranked. Getting back to the Maple Leafs, but again, there's times when they're not going to win, even if they're a highly ranked team, is the moral of my little story there.
That's right.
But getting back to the Toronto Maple Leafs game, a minute and a half in, I'm messing around on my phone. The TV's on. I'm half paying attention. It's the beginning of the game. You're a minute and a half in, and all of a sudden, Olivier and Ryan Reeves, the heavyweight contender, is going at it, and I'm like, no, man, dude, come on, we're only a minute and a half into the game.
Olivier,
you're killing me, man. I do appreciate all of the tough guy stuff that he does. I really, really do, but I gotta say this, I am starting to get very worried about him, because I always go back to Dubinsky getting hurt in a fight, and we lost him forever. He can't play hockey anymore. It messed up his wrist fighting. So I'm getting nervous. I appreciate everything he does. I do. I appreciate the tough guys that play in hockey. They're called enforcers now. They're not called goons. They're not supposed to fight too much, but he's just pounding on this guy, and I'm just so worried.
Yeah.
And that's
well, the difference is Dubinsky did not really know how to fight.
Okay. Can you
I
say
think
so?
Guys, got a lot of practice in it.
Well, all righty then.
Yeah, I suppose. But, you know, I mean, Pam's got a point, you know, because Olivier, we almost lost Olivier in the, I think it was the Pittsburgh Penguins game, and that was quite scary because he I think he did go into the locker room, but then he came back out like very quickly and then was back on the ice in no time. So that was very good news.
Right.
And same with Zach Werenski. But, you know, I was doing the same thing. I was actually watching a TV series. I had my double TV setup, so I was watching a movie, and then I had the Jackets game on the corner of my eye, and I just kind of glanced over, and I saw Olivier punch, and I was like, okay, we'll just let them do their thing.
Right.
That's a normal day in the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, and it kills me that they're pounding on each other's helmets.
Yeah.
That's a hard surface there, kids.
It's like when the football players are fighting each other with their helmets and their pads. I'm like, you can't feel anything, guys.
Yeah.
I know.
But the weird thing is, like, usually these fights come up because there's been a slight or a
– yes.
physical thing that happened earlier, or you mess with a goalie.
Right.
But like that early in the game, and they're not really a rival, I'm kind of surprised it happened that early.
Yeah, me too.
I think it's because it's Olivier.
I guess.
I there must have been something that those two were going at it. Maybe
somebody
pre-game,
said something.
Maybe someone said something.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, it's the magical world of hockey. The fights is what it's all about.
Your mama wears combat boots. Yeah.
But, you know, and moving on to that Hurricanes game, I mean, Pam, you pretty much summed it up. I mean, Hurricanes got 7 goals technically 6 unanswered right behind us. Daniil Tarasov was back in the net because Elvis Merzlikins was in the net for the Maple Leafs, so kind of can't really do that back-to-back games. You can. Some people did say, I don't think you can. Yes, you
can. Bobrovsky used to do it.
Correct.
He would ask to do it.
As long as a
goalie wants to do that and the trainers say that they're capable, then you may see a coach do that.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, you'll put your number two guys. So,
and Elvis has done that before, by the way. He has played back-to-back before. But
but
anyway, getting to the point, with Daniil Tarasov in the net, you know, and I saw the social media backlash during that game, and you got to think to yourself, you don't want to just look at the goalie the whole time. You got to look at what's our defense doing.
Right.
What is our, you know, lineman doing? Because there could be a reason why Tarasov let 7 goals in. It probably because, well, the Hurricanes had almost more puck possession compared to us. And if they're constantly in our zone, that could tire out the goalie. Because remember, yes, goalie's laser focus. If they're constantly spinning around him, you know, mm-hmm, that's constant focus. He can get out of breath and then the puck can get right by him.
Well, it was 2-0 in the first. Then when they got
past, that's the frustrating part.
Yes, it was 2-0 in the first. Then you get through the second, and it was 4-5 at the end of the second, which meant we got 2 more. We were trying to catch up.
Yes.
So then it's 5, and then 2 more, and we didn't add. So it's an interesting game on paper. And again, you cannot take anything away from the Hurricanes. They're a very successful team right now. But it makes no sense why they played, well, I shouldn't say it makes no sense. It's frustrating that they didn't play well in that example. However, they played to a 5-1 win against the Maple Leafs the night before.
Yeah.
Would it have been different if they had a gap between those two games? We'll never know.
Right, yeah.
And they say it's really hard to play on a back-to-back because you're just tired, recovery. And they traveled. Remember, it's not back-to-back home.
Yes.
They had to go from Toronto to Carolina.
Right.
So you got on a plane.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, they went all in. I think that people like beating Toronto. They're kind of like the Yankees of the NHL. And like, they like going there.
Yeah.
And
so I like
they,
it.
Yeah.
They probably exerted a lot of energy and emotion beating those guys. Because I would have lost a lot of money if you told me, yeah, well, the Blue Jackets win 5-1. I'd be like, no, here's $1 million. I'll prevent
you. Yeah.
and that's, we did that to Winnipeg earlier this season, where we beat them 5-1 at their own arena. So that's the second time the Jackets had a huge power boost in Canada.
Right. All right, guys, let's take a break for a minute. You gather your thoughts for final thoughts coming up, but I want to talk about OSU men and women. The OSU men are currently listed as 9th in the NCAA, and they are 15-6-1, and they are away this weekend at Penn State. And the number 2 OSU women's hockey team is 17-5-3, and they are also away this weekend at Minnesota Duluth. High school hockey standings, CapitalHockeyConference.com. If you want to check out your favorite team in the Red Division, number 1, New Albany is holding on. Olentangy Braves, number 2. Upper Arlington, Olentangy Liberty, St. Charles, Cincinnati Moeller, and Olentangy Berlin round out your Red Division. In the White Division, Dublin Jerome staying on top, followed by Dublin Kaufman, Olentangy Orange, and St. Xavier. And in the Blue Division, it's Worthington Kilbourne, Gahanna Lincoln, Bishop Watterson, and Thomas Worthington. In the club hockey standings, and you can see their information, you can check their schedules at gchschl.net. That's the Greater Columbus High School Club Hockey League. Varsity Gold, Dayton Gold, Hilliard Wildcats, the Miami Redhawks, and the Newark Generals. On the Varsity Silver, it's the Dayton Silver, PHA Prowlers, Westerville Warcats, Northeast Storm, and the Athens Bobcats. And for the Junior Varsity Kids, it's Dayton Stealth, Newark Generals, Miami Redhawks, Hilliard Wildcats, the Westerville Warcats, the Irish Eagles, Northeast Storm, PHA Prowlers, Columbus Ice Hockey, and Dublin Irish. So again, if you're interested in high school hockey, maybe you've got a small child that's interested in hockey, first of all, we encourage you to get involved with the Columbus Blue Jackets Mini Mites. They will give you free equipment and let your kid try it. It is definitely worth your time if your child has interest in hockey, boy or girl, I might add. And if you would like to take your smaller child to see any of the hockey games that are at the high school level, again, CapitalHockeyConference.com is your OHSAA high school teams. And then the club is, let me find that again, gchschl.net. All right, guys, that's my plug on hockey, and all things hockey. I love hockey. I'm just very lucky to have grown up watching the kids play at my local rink, and I enjoyed skating, roller skating and ice skating. So I encourage anyone to try the sport. It's definitely good for your legs.
I need to try again.
Final, yes, you should, because it's a lot of fun.
Oh, yes.
And with the chiller rinks in town and whatnot, and some of these teams, especially the club teams, they're traveling to Dayton. They're also traveling down to Cincinnati. There are several rinks in both of those cities, so mm-hmm. plenty of places to play hockey throughout Ohio, up at Toledo, up around Youngstown, Akron, etc. So plenty of places to play hockey within the state of Ohio, either at the OHSAA level or the club level. And that's where you basically go beyond the Mighty Mites and whatnot, and the middle school kids. Mm-hmm. Those would all play through the hockey leagues at they play at the chiller rinks throughout mid-Ohio, and also at the Ice House, which is the other rink at Nationwide Arena. It's on the backside of the arena.
Mm-hmm.
All right, guys, final thoughts as we wrap up the show for this week.
Well, you know, we got one home game coming up this Saturday, which is tomorrow at the time of this recording.
LA
Kings are coming to town, and that'll be pretty much our last home game for quite a bit, because after that, we have a much-needed break gap, because after the LA Kings game here in Columbus, we do another West Coast trip back-to-back against the Vegas Golden Knights on the 30th, then you got the Utah Hockey Club on the 31st. I know Pam's going to love the hockey.
Hate that name.
We're gonna play them twice in under a week too. Then it's on to Dallas, and then back to Buffalo, and then again back at home for the Utah Hockey Club. So gotta get back on the winning column. LA is currently third in the Western Division right now, so LA's doing very, very good. So this will be a good challenge for us. But again, we're at home. I expect Elvis Merzlikins will be back in the net tomorrow night, and I think the Jackets will come out on top. Darren, what about you?
Elvis has been playing a lot better this year. I'm very impressed with him. I don't think he's in the top five goalies by any means, but he has been more than serviceable. So yay, Pam, yay, Elvis. Mm-hmm. It kills me that he was dominating that Toronto game, and I think they gave up a goal within the last last 5 minutes of the game. Like, he almost had a shutout, and I would love to see it.
Yeah.
But they got the win, so I won't hold against him. But, I'm pro Elvis again.
And, you know, I know I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I have to wonder if they had played Elvis two nights in a row. Obviously, the older he gets and we have new coaches, we have new training folks this year, I believe that maybe they should have posted him rather than Tarasov for that Hurricanes game. But I'm not a trainer. I don't know about his regiment. So that's my two cents on that one.
It's easy to say that, but remember, Tarasov pitched that great game against the Rangers.
You're right.
He gets credited for a shutout. If you don't give up a goal through the overtime and you just give up the shootout goal, doesn't hurt you. So
that was an interesting statistical game, wasn't it? Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's easy to say that in retrospect, and I'm not the biggest Tarasov opponent, but he did play well the game before, so I can see why they did it.
Right. Yeah, I do. I understand it. Yeah. But I just, I don't know. Hindsight's 20/20, of course.
Mm-hmm.
All righty, folks. Good luck to the Blue Jackets this Saturday for the LA Kings game, and we will keep tabs on that and future games. And we thank you so much for listening to Mid-Ohio Hockey Talk. Go Jackets. Have a great weekend. Go enjoy some ice time.